1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. If after service this afternoon we dismissed and all of us went out the front door together and we find out that right outside the front door in the middle of the road there's a car accident, we would all probably react in slightly different ways to that. It might be second nature to a merciful person to run up to the vehicles and start trying to mend injuries. An encouraging person would come and offer a word of assurance or comfort to those who are upset at what's happened. It might be another of us who would begin administration, right? Organization or management, who would start assessing the situation and what's needed and start assigning tasks to people. You, go call 911. You, go direct traffic. Others who had a gift of service might begin removing debris from the road. A giver would see what material needs would be useful and they would start providing for them. If there was a teacher, it might start explaining to the children how the accident happened and how they could avoid it in their future. And if there was a prophet, in this sense, I mean a truth teller, well, that's the guy the police are going to want to go to when they show up to fill out the accident report. They want to know all the details. What we would find, I think, is that each of us would find ourselves addressing the same situation and working in unity with each other, but doing it in very different ways because each of us are suited to different tasks. Now, that illustration is helpful, but eventually it breaks down because it's not a spiritual situation. The church's ministries aren't a car wreck. Sometimes they seem like a train wreck, but they're never a car wreck. But within the Lord's church, each member is given a unique spiritual gift which is necessary for addressing the work to which the church as a whole is called. Now this afternoon, we're really not ready yet to start trying to identify your particular gift, and I think you're going to see why this afternoon, although I do think in the course of this study, you should be praying that the Holy Spirit would illuminate you in that regard. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's given you a gift, He doesn't want you to be ignorant of it. He wants you to know what it is so that you would use it. However, what we will do this afternoon is we're going to look at some of the different gifts that are listed in the New Testament. And then we're going to come back here to these few verses and see what Paul has to say about the diversity of gifts here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, if you remember, we've already seen how Peter sort of collected into generic categories. All gifts fall into two main categories. He said there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. As we get more specific, we'll start to see how Paul starts naming individual gifts in this chapter. You can look down at verse 8, for example, and we can start listing some of them. So starting at verse 8, he says, "For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse or different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues." And then when you skip down to verse 28, he actually lists some more. He repeats some, but he adds a few examples. He says, "God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps," or just being helpful, lending a helpful hand. "Governments," that's a word for administration or guiding. And then he talks about the diversity of tongues again. So that's 12, if I've counted them right, 12 different examples of spiritual gifts just in this chapter. And yes, some of them are no longer available. Please, at the end of this study, don't come to me and tell me you've discovered your spiritual gift is working miracles. We're going to just have to start a whole different study if you do that. This is a pretty good list, but understand, it's not all-inclusive. There are other lists in other places. So, for example, leave a bookmark here, of course, but turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, as Paul's talking about gifts over in Romans, he gives a list, and it's a little bit different. It includes some of the same things, and some are different. So, starting in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office, right? They're not the same job. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to this proportion of faith, or ministry, or service, let us wait on our ministering, or on he that teaches, on teaching, he that exhorts, on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, it's a gift of leadership or management, do it with diligence. And then he lists the gifts of showing mercy. And if you have the gift of mercy, you need to do it with cheerfulness, he says. And so there are the two main lists of gifts. And you know, in later messages, we'll revisit them. But there are also other gifts as well. Over in Ephesians 4, he lists apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. But there's something to keep in mind when you're reading lists in the Bible, unless it specifically says that it is an all-inclusive list, right? Unless it says this is a list of everything, don't assume that it's a list of everything. I mean, we don't do that in other places. For example, you know, Paul in his letters is notorious for, when he starts speaking about sin, gives a list of examples of sin. But we don't read any of those lists and say, that is all the kinds of sin there are. We know better. And so the same thing is true here when we read this list of gifts. We shouldn't assume that he's saying this is all the gifts that there are. In fact, here and there throughout Scripture, it either explicitly states or strongly hints at the idea that there are also other gifts. So, for example, in this letter of 1 Corinthians, if you just back up to chapter 7, and the context of chapter 7, Paul's talking about marriage. But listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. He said, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And so as Paul's writing about marriage and he's using himself as an example, he explains that being single is a unique blessing. Isn't he saying here that singleness or celibacy is a gift from God? And being married, by the way, is also a gift from God, since what Paul says is some people are gifted like me and some are gifted another way, which means I am God's gift to you anytime I want to tell you that, right? I don't think we can confidently go through Scripture and say, here is a list of every potential spiritual gift. Not only could we not make a list of every potential gift, but when we start understanding that many people receive more than one gift, and so there'd be various combinations, and it would just be overwhelming to try to list every possibility. And so, even in our context of spiritual gifts, this section that starts at chapter 12, you understand that there are places where Paul is hinting around at other gifts that exist. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 for an example, and you'll see what I mean. In chapter 13, you know that Paul's main idea is that all spiritual gifts work by love. And if they're not being used in love, then they're not being used in any kind of a useful manner. But listen to how he starts off in verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men. And now, tongues is a gift, right? So he's listing a gift there. He says, but if I don't have charity or love, I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, right? I'm just, as Brother Lewis says, a noisy nuisance. In verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, and that's already been on our list, and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and I would say that's the gift of discernment to some extent. That's already been on our list. And though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, so he's talking about miraculous gifts, which has already been on our list. And don't have love, I'm nothing. But now listen to what he says, because I don't know if you've thought about verse 3 this way. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And so now, if you're following his argument, isn't he essentially saying that this giving all his goods to the poor, like this extreme voluntary poverty, is a spiritual gift, and even to the point of martyrdom, if I give my body to be burned, martyrdom would be a spiritual gift? Look, I just don't think we can make a comprehensive list of every possible gift and say, well, that's it, and you have to pick from that list to figure out which one you've got. There just aren't any other ways that the Spirit would gift believers than that list. Well, I say we need to be a little more open-minded to the unique ways the Spirit enables us. And that would be Paul's point in our text this afternoon in verses 4 through 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So, two just really simple points I want to make from those verses. I want us to see the diverse nature of gifts, and then I want us to see the uniform nature of gifts after that. So, on the diverse nature of gifts, one of the truths that jumps out of this chapter, as you read the chapter as a whole, what jumps out at you is the diversity and uniqueness of the church, because each person and each person's gift is unique. The beautiful reality of that is also the source of one of the frustrations that a lot of people have living in a Christian community. I'm certain that each of you have experienced at some point in church where some person wants to shape you and mold you to be different than what you are, right? They want to pound you into a mold of what they think a Christian ought to be. Didn't you hate when that happens? Which, by the way, means don't you be doing that to somebody else. God is not interested in a cookie-cutter form of Christianity where all of us are identical. I think about this. When he created the earth, he didn't make the landscape uniform. He made deserts and forests and glaciers and islands and mountains and valleys. There's spring, summer, winter, fall, in any order in Illinois. And he created variety, right? When he created the animal kingdom, he didn't make it uniform. There are fish and birds and mammals and reptiles, and there's whatever a duck-billed platypus is. You know, that thing's got fur like a mammal and a bill and feet like a duck, and it lays eggs the way a reptile lays eggs. It proves God has a sense of humor. It's his way of confusing evolutionary scientists, right? But he made variety. So when the Lord creates the church, he designs it with variety, with diversity. You are unlike anyone else in the assembly. You've been given a gift that is unlike anybody else in the assembly. Maybe you have gotten a unique number, more than one gift, and so your many gifts are unique in your person. You could be the duck-billed platypus of the church. Wouldn't that be really cool? Now, in order to grasp what Paul's saying about the diverse nature of gifts, I am afraid we're going to have to dig into the meaning of some of the words that he uses. And first off, this word diversity gets used three times, although the King James Version translates it differences in verse 5. It's actually the same word in verses 4, 5, and 6. And it's a word meaning diversity, differences, varieties. Nobody is the same. No gift is the same. In fact, there are three significant differences that Paul insists that we recognize. In verse 4, one of the differences is he says there are varieties of gifts. Right? The word gift there is already a word we've used a lot. Like, I'm assuming y'all know exactly what it means. But it's the Greek word charisma. And you think you know that word, right? People who go overboard with spiritual gifts, we call them charismatics because of that word. But this word charisma is from the Greek word charis, which means grace, right? When we define grace, we talk about grace being an undeserved gift. And we're simply saying we've been given something that we don't deserve. Now, Paul is using that word to say there are a variety of ways in which we have been given what we don't deserve. This also, by the way, by recognizing it's the same word for grace, it tells us that spiritual gifts are free gifts. They are not coming as a result of you wanting or earning or deserving or choosing them at all. They are given sovereignly by the will of God. They are grace gifts, and there are a variety, Paul says, of grace gifts. Not only are there a variety of grace gifts, but verse 5 says there are differences or varieties of administrations. Now, this is a word you are already familiar with. That word administrations is the Greek word diakonia, right? It's where we get our word deacon from, service. In this case, a variety of services. We'd say variety of ministries or a variety of services. This differences of administrations in verse 5 tells us, Paul's saying, look, there are different gifts and there are different ways that gifts get used. They can be utilized in a variety of ways, but they do have to be used. The purpose of every gift is that it would be utilized outwardly. There's no gift of the Spirit that he gives you that you're supposed to hide like a candle under a bushel. In fact, in verse 7, Paul's going to talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. That word manifestation is talking about public display. The public display of spiritual gifts, they have to be used. Your gift needs to be displayed. It has to be used. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 4 when we were over there in verse 10. He says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister, right, serve in that gift to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, he said. And so he says, just like you've gotten a gift, use the gift. And that as good stewards, the manifold grace of God is telling us there's diversity in the grace of God in which he gives gifts. And because of that, you need to use your gift in that diversity. It needs to be used in many different ways. But it has to be used. You understand, there's more than one parable of Jesus that taught us God takes a dim view of a servant that doesn't effectively utilize what he's been given. Right? There was no reward for the servant who took his coin and buried it in the ground and didn't use it. So now make sure you catch this. It might be as we go through this study that y'all start to identify some gift that you've been given and some ministry that maybe the church should begin so that you can use it. And that'll be great. I want to hear about those things. But also remember right here, there are a variety of ways that every gift can be used. Don't come and say, well, I'll start using my gift when the church starts doing something, right? Your gift can be used in many ways. Find out how it can be used right now. Now look at verse 6. There are diversities of operations. This is probably the hardest of the words to explain or to grasp. It's the word energema. It's where we get our word energy from, but it actually refers to the product of what is done. It's referring to the results of energy being expended. Now, the really neat thing is that a version of the same word gets used again in this verse, as Paul says at the end of it. It's the same God which works all in all. That works is the same word. So what he's saying is there are many different results of gifts, right? There's many different gifts, many different ways they're used, many different results, but whatever the result, it's always the same God that is at work. So when you think about these three things together, what he's saying in verses 4, 5, and 6 about these diversities, these varieties, the first one, he's telling us about this reality of gifts, right? Gifts are something that exists, right? They're there. They're given by the sovereign grace of God. Secondly, there are a variety of ways that those gifts can be used. There are many different ministries, many different services. And then in verse 7, those various gifts that can be used in various ways produce various results. So it's pretty easy to see what he's saying about the diverse nature of gifts, right? There's many different gifts, many different ways they can be used, many different products of their use, many different results. But now he also talks about the uniform nature of gifts in those verses. Look at them again, verse 4, for there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. So we saw three significant differences. Now let's see, he talks about three significant similarities. The first is that every gift is given by the triune God. Just as the undeserved grace of salvation is given by the Trinity, right? You're chosen by the Father, you're redeemed by the Son, you're secured by the Spirit. Just as the grace of salvation is given by Father, Son, and Spirit, Paul is clear these gracious spiritual gifts are also given by the Trinity. It's a Trinitarian act. It's the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. He's making clear the Trinity in this. The Father, Son, and Spirit are at work in the variety of gifts and the variety of ministries and the variety of results. So let's be clear about something then. If you would dare to look down on someone else's gift, or you would have the audacity to turn up your nose at some ministry or some form of service, or you would look at the result of some effort and consider it as unworthy or unnecessary, what you are doing is actually belittling the work of God Himself through that person. Every gift is a gift of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The next significant similarity is that gifts are given to all believers. Now, Paul essentially says this twice. In verse 6, he says the same God works all in all. In other words, it's the same God doing all the work in all the believers. And then he repeats that in verse 7 when he says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Our gifts are different, but we all get gifts just the same. Nobody is left out. Paul's really going to belabor that point in this chapter. He gets down to verse 11, and he talks about, but all these works that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Right? The Spirit gives to every person uniquely according to his own desire. Gifts are diverse, but they are given uniformly to everyone. Everyone gets a gift. So the first similarity is that they're all from the same God. The second similarity is they're given all to all believers. All believers get gifts. And the third significant similarity is that all of those diverse gifts are given for the same purpose. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now those words, profit with all, it's the Greek word symphero, and it means to be beneficial to the community, or for the common good. It's the same word Paul uses other places in this book when he talks about all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient, right? Not everything's good for everybody else. And we have to take everybody else into consideration. Now when he gets around to gifts, he talks about gifts, and he says every gift is given by God for the profit, for the common good. The purpose of spiritual gifts is always for the good of others, specifically the good of those in the church. Gifts are never given in order to be self-indulgent. They aren't even given for the purpose of building ourselves up. Y'all just tuck that away in the back of your head somewhere, because when we get around to talking about miraculous spiritual gifts, like tongues, this is going to be very important, because some people insist, for example, the nonsensical tongue speaking that nobody understands. They say, well, while nobody else understands it, I'm being edified by it because it's my speaking to God. Well, nonsense. We know that can't be true, because every spiritual gift is given for the benefit of others. It's not given for the benefit of yourself. So y'all, look, I know, first off, I know Sunday afternoons are hard. Second, I know we're going slowly through this study, but I want to make sure we've got the foundation we need here. So the main takeaway from today, I hope, is to not just try to make a list of spiritual gifts and start going down the list and saying, well, okay, which one is mine? Your giftedness is way more unique than that. There are lists, but those lists aren't comprehensive. There are a variety of gifts and a variety of ways those gifts can be used and a variety of results that come. They can accomplish a variety of different purposes. But when you do try to narrow down and identify your gift and its uses, it'll help to remember it is God who has given these graciously as undeserved gifts, and we've each got, all of us have, spiritual gift, whether it's just one or a combination of many. And whatever that gift is that we've been given, however it's to be used, it will ultimately be for the common good. So if you've identified some gifts, say, well, that's my gift, but it doesn't benefit others, guess what? That is not your gift. Your gift will always be for the benefit of the church as a whole.